Aren't you glad you get to stand before Him complete? No guilt? I mean, that's, to me, that's an awesome, awesome thought. When I know better. There's an outline in your bulletin as we prepare to worship through the Lord's Supper. Hopefully you'll find that and turn to Romans chapter 5 as it talks about our relationship to Jesus. I want us to focus today on thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And my prayer is that we will worship Him as we take the time together to think about Him and what He did and to celebrate that. So, Romans chapter 5, I want to start in verse 6. There's a lot in Romans you could enjoy, but let me read verse 6 through 11. And then we'll think about it as we prepare our hearts and our minds to worship Jesus through the Lord's Supper. It says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." I like that "much more" part. But let's think about this for a little bit and prepare our minds and hearts. I've entitled these sections just "Thank You, Jesus." My prayer is that today we'll just worship Him. We'll thank You. So the first one is, "Thank You, Jesus, for dying while I was helpless." Thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was helpless. Verse 6, the first part of it says, "For while we were helpless, Christ died for us." What He reminds us of in the Scripture passage is that in order for us to be saved, God had to do it all. When He says we were helpless, it meant that literally we were separated from God. We were sinners. We were lost before we met Jesus. And there wasn't anything we could do about it. I know there are people today who feel like they can. There are people who think, well, if I, you know, if I'm a good friend and a good neighbor and I do all the right kind of things, and that somehow I can help myself out. So when I think about my life, and I assume when you think about yours, did you ever try to change yourself and find out how difficult it is to really change? That you need someone to help you change. That you're really helpless to make those lasting, life-giving changes that God wants to make. And so when I come, I say, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was helpless. I couldn't do a thing about where I was. I couldn't change it. And He died for me. So I say, thank you, Jesus, that You came to me when I was helpless." And it's all right to admit we're helpless. For when I admit I'm helpless, then I will seek help, right? I don't seek for help if I don't admit I need it. And some of us are pretty stubborn. We don't like to admit we need it. Americans, I think one of the problems we have is that we're made, or used to be at least, where we did it all ourselves. We didn't need any help. That sometimes got us in trouble. But we need to recognize, thank you, Jesus, for dying where I was helpless to change my life, to change me as an individual. So thank you for that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to say this phrase with me. You ready? Thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was helpless. We didn't get all that together. Let's do it again. Thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was helpless. The second one is, thank you, Jesus, for dying at the right time. For dying at the right time. It said in verse 6, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time. The Scripture passage on your note says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." At the right time. Jesus came. God in His plan had already planned for His Son to come and live here on this earth. And in God's plan and God's anointed time, Jesus came as God planned for Him to come. We know that when He came, it was the right time because the Romans had developed roads that let them share the gospel. There was a language that everybody, many people knew. There are many things about that. But it was at the right time Christ died. When I think about dying at the right time, I'm grateful that He died before I came along. Think about it. I know the people prior to Jesus believed in God and were offering sacrifices and they were turning to God, but it's sure a blessing that God let me be born at the right time after Jesus came. We're altogether different. It's a blessing for us today to thank Jesus for dying for us several thousand years ago now in order that we might be born again. He said He sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born of Mary, born under the law to do what? To redeem those of us who are under the law. That's all of us. That we can receive adoption as sons or as His children. You can put daughters in there too, okay? God said, I want you to be mine. And at the right time, I'm going to send my Son to accomplish that purpose. Are you an adopted daughter of Jesus today? Are you an adopted son of Jesus today? Can you say, I belong to Jesus? He has adopted me and I'm one of His kids. I'm one of His children. Thank you, Jesus, for dying at the right time for me. So let's do this one together. Ready? Thank you, Jesus, for dying at the right time. The third area is, thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was a sinner. The verse on your note says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the scripture that I talked about in Romans, it said in verse 6, He died for the ungodly. In verse 8, it said, He died while we were sinners. And then in verse 10, it says we were enemies. Were we all those things? Were you an enemy of God? Were you an ungodly person? Were you a sinner? You know, the Bible says, the passage I put in our notes says we've all sinned, so we were all in that category. And the passage talks about and that someone might die for a good person, but Jesus died because we were sinners. We were helpless, and He said, I love you enough to die for you while you are a sinner. Aren't you glad God didn't say, well, tough luck. You blew it. Jesus said, I'm going to die for you while you are a sinner. Not because you're a good person. Not because you've achieved a certain spiritual level, but I've died for you. So thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was a sinner, because I was one of them. I think that sometimes we forget that we were sinners. Sometimes we sin after we get saved too, unfortunately. But Jesus changes our mind and heart, so there's a difference there. For dying while I was a sinner. I mentioned it before, but my sin was as great as anybody else's sin. Do you recognize that? Your sin was as great as anybody else's. Because before God, it's all sin. The consequences are different, but the sin itself before a holy God. Thank you for dying while I was a sinner. While I was ungodly, while I was separated from God, while I was an enemy of God, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me while I was a sinner. So let's do this one together. Ready? Thank you, Jesus, for dying while I was a sinner. The next one is, thank you, Jesus, for dying to show your love. Verse 8 said that God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shows us His love by dying for us. I'm glad that you, Jesus, loved us enough. God loved us enough to let His Son die. I've tried to think about that, and I don't think I'll ever comprehend in my human life what it really cost Jesus. and what it really cost God the Father to let His Son die for my sins. I just don't think I comprehend it, but I try to imagine. One of the things I try to imagine and think about is what it would have been like to have never done anything wrong, never sinned, and all of a sudden have all the sin of all the world dumped on you at one time in one place. It's sort of like a beautiful white sheet or whatever. All of a sudden, all the trash and garbage is dumped on top of it. And it, to me, it would have been, kind of feeling. But Jesus did it because He loved us. He cared about us enough to say, I want you to be mine. I want you to be saved. I want you to know my Father. I want you to go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you wanted us to go to heaven. He could have said, you're not worth it, but He didn't. He showed us how much He loved us. I like the poster that you've seen. I haven't seen it around lately, but when someone that was on that, you remember the poster, says to Jesus, how much do you love me? And He said, I love you this much. I love you this much. To die on the cross. That's a love, folks. And He loves us enough then to put up with us the rest of our lifetime here on earth. I don't know. Maybe you don't have any problem, but I think about sometimes I have trouble putting up with myself, let alone other people. And God puts up with me all the time and loves me anyway, no matter where I'm going, no matter what I do, no matter how well I perform or don't perform, He loves me. The death of Jesus on the cross said, I just love you. I don't like some of the things you do, sometimes He says to us. He wants to change it, but He still loves us. I'm grateful to know that I'll always be in the love of God, no matter what I do. And I'll always be His child if I've been born again of the Spirit. I'm His. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to show me how much You love me. I think He knew He was going to do that. The Bible says from the foundation of the world, He knew it was coming. And then He prayed in the garden, Father, if it's Your will, take this from me, but not mine, but Yours. He prayed that 3 times, remember? I think He knew what was coming. And He said, okay, that's what You want, Lord. My Father, I'll do it. And He did. And so we can say today, God loves me. So let's say this together, if you will. Thank You, Jesus, for dying to show Your love. On the other side of your notes, thank You, Jesus, for dying to save me from God's wrath. We don't like this part sometimes. But verse 9 said that we've been justified by His blood, by what He did. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him, through Jesus. Is there a wrath on the part of God against sin and against evil? We like to think, I think, our culture in America wants to think there's no consequences for disobedience to God. But there is. There is. If you read through the Old Testament, did God's wrath ever come out? More than once against people who refused to follow Him and were living so ungodly. And in a sense, when Jesus died, the wrath of God was pronounced against our sin in Him. And we don't have to face the wrath of God. Folks, you better be glad that when Jesus comes and this world ends and the wrath of God comes on an ungodly world, that you're not going to be there. Because it is coming, whether we like it or not, against sin and all evil. Some people say, well, God's a God of love. He can't ever do wrath. But you can't have one without the other. If you have love, there has to be a wrath against sin, against wrong. I think the heart of God is broken because of sin and what it does and all the evil. And He has to stand against it. And so you're either going to trust Jesus and let Him deliver you from the wrath of God, or you're going to face the wrath of God and be cast away from God forever in a place called hell. That's real. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, that I want to get in on the wrath of God. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm going to escape it, not because I've earned it, but because of the blood of Jesus on the cross. So I thank Him for dying to save me from God's wrath against sin and evil. So let's do this one together. Thank you, Jesus, for dying to save me from God's wrath. I hope you think about all these things in the moment when we come to do this. I hope we can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The last thing on your notes, thank you, Jesus, for dying to reconcile me with God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying to reconcile me with God. Verse 9 and following, it talked about we've been justified by His blood, saved from the wrath of God. And in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received the reconciliation. By the blood of Jesus, we are reconciled with God. The scripture passage in your notes says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Died for sins, I like that, once for all. He finished it when He died on the cross. I like the "it is finished" statement that Jesus made. It's recorded in Scripture. The just for the unjust. So when we talk about being reconciled to God, does that mean then we're at outs, if you will, with God? Before He made Jesus? Yeah. In fact, the Scriptures, when we read earlier, talked about us being enemies of God. We're opposed to God. I guess we forget, we like to think, well, now, I don't really like God, and a person says, I really don't want to follow God, so there must be some neutral ground. Either I'm not for Him or not against Him, I'm just sort of in between. Do you realize that can't be? You're either for Him or against Him. You either know Him or you don't know Him. So I'm grateful that when He died, when I have not known God and been an enemy of God and been away from God, Jesus said, because He died on the cross, He can bring God and me together through the blood of the cross. When I receive what He did on the cross, He unites me into a full fellowship with God the Father, and I'm His child, and I'm accepted in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. He said, if we were enemies, we're reconciled. How? Through the death of His Son. But also it said, not only reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So I not only get reconciled to God and renewed, but I get to have the life of God in me and through me from now forever. I get to know the living God because He died for me that He might reconcile me with God. You realize that the only way you and I will ever be right with God is through Jesus. And I'm grateful when we stand before the throne of God, however that works out, that when I stand before God, I don't have to offer Him a list of my good stuff and my bad stuff and God weigh it out. I'm glad that when I face a holy God, that there will be Jesus. And He will say to the Father, this one believed in me and accepted what I did on the cross, and therefore they are reconciled with You, Father. They're acceptable and right with You because of my death. And they believed that. And I'm right with God. I'm right with God. Now, I realize sometimes we here on this earth, we get out of fellowship with God. We need to renew that relationship. Doesn't mean we're not going to be Christians. I'm going to be saved. But it means our relationship is broken. So as we come to worship this morning and take the Lord's Supper, I hope you just search your heart and say, God, how are You and I doing? How's it between me and You, Jesus? Because that's what matters, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what your neighbors think. But it matters what He thinks about, because He sees in here right now what's going on inside each of us. And whether we're going to do this as a routine or whether we're going to do it because we love Jesus and we want to honor Jesus. And that's our own choice. So let's say this one together. Thank You, Jesus, for dying to reconcile me with God. Are you reconciled? Can you say Him? I hope that in a moment as we share these things, you'll think about these. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me. You died for everybody, that's true, but also for me. My sins are on the cross. I needed to be right with God, and He has forgiven me. Let's bow together for a moment, and then we'll share. as we pray and as we think together. Is there anything you need to talk to God about right now? As we come to this time of worship, would you just tell Him what's on your mind and heart? You can do that quietly in your spirit. If you need to share a decision, if there's something you need to settle between you and God before we continue in this service, you need to come and share that. We'll give you a moment to slip out of your seat and come and tell me. Or if you just want to come here to the front and pray for a minute. We want to prepare our hearts to be ready to say, thank you, Jesus, as we take these reminders of what He did for us and is still doing for us, really, even this day. So in the quietness of the moment, as you deal with Jesus, ask Him to prepare our hearts, each of us individually and together. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. We recognize that our thank you is so small compared to the greatness of what you've done. But as best we know how, we want to say thank you this morning as we take this bread and this juice to say, Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for the changes you made in my life and are making. I thank you for being my Savior and Lord. I thank you for taking away the wrath of God. I thank you for reconciling me with you. Lord, thank you. Help us to do that, to honor you in these moments. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be